Matthew chapter number 12, we want to begin reading in verse number 46 through the conclusion of the chapter. Matthew 12, I'll ask you to stand. Matthew 12, verse number 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. And Father, I pray now that you would help us as we're challenged from this text. Lord, that we would meet that challenge, arise, understand it, apply it. And I pray, Father, you would touch us to realize just exactly the family of faith that you've gathered around us. And Father, I do ask your blessings now as we stand to preach. Father, there's nothing about me that's be able to stand. But Father, I pray that in the power of your Spirit, that you might touch us today and touch our stammering lips of clay and inspire them, Father. Breathe upon us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I feel led this morning to preach on this thought from this text, Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. The relationship that counts. Now, all of us are affected by relationships, there could be no doubt. There are certain people that have impacted your life and my life. It may be a mom or a dad. It may be a brother or a sister. Might be an uncle or an aunt, might be a nephew or a niece, might be a cousin, might be a child, might be your spouse, could very well be a neighbor, could be a coworker, could be a companion. I do not know, but maybe there's a friend in your life that's influenced you, and Lord willing, they've influenced you for the better rather than for the worse. Oftentimes, I have found that I have made decisions based on relationships in my life. You think what I'm saying here? And as I make that decision based on what I think is best for me and best for those that are around me, we have to understand that God interweaves people in our lives. These relationships in our lives are there to be a blessing. But if you're not careful, you allow them to be a distraction. But as good as the relationship may be with your family or your friends, it was never meant to replace the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. You must be rightly related to the Redeemer. It's the most important relationship you'll ever have. So there's really then only one relationship that I need to make my decisions upon. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ. If I put him first, everything else will fall in place. Have you ever made a decision based on relationships? Number one, when we look at this text, I want us to see the interruption. Again, in verse 46, the scripture says, while he yet talked. The word in the Greek would imply that he is teaching. He is sharing. He is preaching the word to those that are gathered in the house. And one person in the middle of the sermon said in verse 47, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Probably they are in a room that is, or a house that is filled to capacity. and his mother and brothers cannot even get in the house. And they're standing outside desiring to speak with him. Now, it would have been good if they would have been standing inside desiring to hear him. But they were standing outside desiring to speak with him. And that's certainly true of a lot of our relationships. They're standing outside of the will of God, desiring to speak with us, to influence us, rather than standing inside the will of God and trying to be an encouragement to us. That's a whole different thought from what I want to preach here. But I want to look at Mark chapter 3. I want to show you that this house was full as Jesus' mother and brothers comes. Now the Bible says that all 12 of the disciples were in this house. And we come to Mark 3 verse 19. At the end of the verse, the scripture says, and they, meaning all the disciples, they went into an house. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. In other words, it was so cramped for space in there, they didn't even have elbow room to break bread or to have a time for a meal. And the Bible says when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. That's his friends. For they said, he is beside himself. Do you understand that they believed he had lost his mind? Now there's a massive force that's opposing the ministry of Christ. The devil's behind it. The Pharisees have eluded that Jesus Christ is demonic. For they said he casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub. You certainly can see that that happened in this house. Look at verses 22 through verse 29. They referred to Jesus being a demonic person. And then his friends, probably his family, they come to lay hold on him because they think that he's delusional. They think he's lost it. They think that, how can a man teach us that he is the fulfillment of the law? How can a man teach us that he is the Son of God? How can a man teach us that he will lay down his life and that he will be on the first day of the week, on the third day, raised again victorious? He is our half-brother. Let me tell you what, Jesus had half-brothers and half-sisters. Mary and Joseph had more children than just Jesus. This thought of Mary being a perpetual virgin is a farce. It's a lie. Read the Word of God. Matthew 13, 55 tells us that Mary, his mother, and Simon and Joseph, and another one who was his brothers and his sisters. Listen, he had half-brothers and half-sisters through Mary and Joseph. So there are those in the room that believe that Jesus is demonic. There are those in the room that believe that Jesus is delusional. Even his family and his friends believe that. But there's others in the room that believe he's deity. And that's where you and I come in, I hope. I believe he's the Son of God. There's no doubt that in that room, there are his disciples. There are 11 of them that believe he is the Son of God. They've seen the power. They've seen the evidence. They've heard the word. I believe there's at least one standing without his mother. She believes he's the Son of God. She knew she was a virgin when she came up with that child. She knew that the Lord had appeared to her through an angel to speak to her that she was, as a virgin, would have the Son of God and he would be called the Son of the Highest. She knew he was the Son of God. So there's deity there. And right in the middle of this sermon, do not believe this morning for one second, don't believe it, that everybody you come in contact with is a Christian. Just because they gathered in the house with Jesus did not mean they were saved. No more than me standing underneath this carport makes me a Buick. It's a good place to get out of the rain. Amen. It's a good place to come when I'm in trouble. But here's the question. Do you really believe him to be the Son of God? Right in the middle of the teaching, someone stands up and interrupts and says, Master, thy mother
and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Imagine interrupting the preaching of the Word of God. It's happened to me before. And I'll say this, and I'll try to move off this thought, but as it happened, it's not a pleasant experience when someone interrupts the sermon, because the concentration on the message is often affected by those interruptions. You'd be surprised what a difference it makes when you decide that you need to send 18 people to the bathroom during a 30-minute message. You'd be surprised the distractions that the devil will try to throw in front of us to interrupt what the Lord is doing. You'd be surprised. And let me say this, and I'll try to move off this thought, but these interruptions, Jesus took this interruption and turned it into one of the greatest teachings that's ever been. And I like it when Jesus turns around a distraction and an interruption and uses it for his glory. It's unbelievable how he can do that. I want us to see not only the interruption, but I want you to see, second of all, the interrogation. Now, back in the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, we've seen this interruption. But look with me in verse 48. Jesus gives an interrogation. He answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Understand that this man is focusing on temporal relationships. Relationships that are physical relationships. And this morning, as we've been talking, you've already been thinking about physical relationships that you have that have influenced decisions in your life and yet have sometimes become an interruption and a distraction in your life. Jesus uses this temporary interruption and this temporal relationship that this man's referring to teach us about a greater relationship. It is a spiritual relationship that is with Jesus Christ that is beyond anything this world will ever know. This spiritual relationship, it will completely span this dark cavern of temporary things that we now know and reaches into eternity. Preacher Darren, this is getting deep. Listen, in that culture, family relationships were very important. Your whole world will be directed by your family in that culture. I quote, "Fidelity to and respect for one's family were so heavily emphasized that such words must have struck the hearers forcefully." End of quote. I quote again, "To disavow literal family members would be deemed so repulsive that even using the image would be offensive." End of quote. When Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who is my brethren?" the man that interrupted and the congregation that was being interrupted was shocked. Their mouth fell open. What? And yet Jesus is not being disrespectful to his mother. He is not being uncaring for his brothers. He is not saying that he does not know who his earthly family is. He is not saying that he does not care one thing about them. He is not trying to disrespect them whatsoever. But he uses this interruption to teach us a truth that's timeless. And it is, there is a greater relationship with Jesus Christ spiritually than you'll ever have with your wife or your husband, with your mom or your dad, with your children, or with any other member of your family. He is the greatest friend you'll ever have. He is the greatest family member you'll ever have. He's the greatest encourager that you'll ever meet in your life. Have you been so involved in your important relationships that you've neglected the one relationship
that need not be neglected. And Jesus gives us an interrogation. He asks the question, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? Well, we know very well who it is. It's Mary and Simon and Joseph and others. We know very well who it is. But listen, here's the question. Do you know who the family of faith is? Because according to John chapter 7, verse number 5, his brethren did not yet believe him. Now Mary did, but his own brothers who come thought he was delusional and that they need to take him out of that house before they take him and arrest him and kill him. They think he is a kook, and that's what your family thinks about you. They think you are a kook. They think you are a crazy person. Why in the world would you go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Hey, I have a better question. Why do you live for him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? My Christian walk is much more than just coming to church. My Christian walk is much greater than whether I'm here at the house of God 3 times a week. My Christian walk is based upon me following him every hour, minute, and second of my life. There would not be a me if it weren't a him, if there weren't a him. Bless his holy name. You see the interrogation. Thirdly, verse 49 gives us the interjection. Nobody had an answer for him. They were completely shocked at what Jesus had said. Notice Jesus, how he interjects an answer. He stretched forth his hand. He makes a gesture. He hardly ever makes a gesture. But the scripture, the Holy Scripture, records this hand gesture. He takes his hand and he stretched it forth toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren!" Exclamation mark. Are y'all listening to me? This teaching that every person is a child of God is a counterfeit. Jesus did not look to everybody in that room and say, "Behold my mother and my brethren," speaking of everyone inside that room. Read the scripture closely. He made that hand gesture to point to his disciples, those 11 of 12 that had their faith put in Jesus Christ. He said, "This spiritual family, this family of faith, is greater than any family anyone will ever have." Boy, it's something to realize at the holiday season, isn't it? Do you know why we have the holidays? Because of Jesus. Christmas recognizes his birth, and Thanksgiving recognizes his blessings and the blessor. Amen? So watch him here. This is beyond just a temporary physical relationship. You're related to your family because of what? Because of blood. You're related to your family because of sinful, corrupt blood. But I am related, and if you're a believer today, you're related to Jesus Christ through the blood, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should become a criminal. But my daddy's name is Roy. And if today I walked out of here and said, "I'm going to go rob a store, and I'm going to go smoke dope and get high and listen to rock and roll music for the rest of my life and just party and go crazy," my daddy would be very disappointed with me. This entire church would probably be disappointed. But my daddy's name would still be Roy. This morning, I'm related to Jesus Christ through the blood that he shed for me. Because of the perfect love that he has for me and the desire that he's put within me to live for him by faith, I don't want to go out and rob anybody. I don't want to smoke dope. I don't want to get high. I don't want to listen to rock and roll music. And I don't want to party for the rest of my life. Well, preacher, what do you want to do? I want to serve him.
Preacher, why do you just want to do that because you're a preacher? No. I want to do that because he saved me. I want to do that because he loved me when nobody else did. I want to do that because he gave his life for me. And if he could give his life for me, certainly I could give my life, live for him. Listen, as he interjects, makes that hand gesture towards his family. He never taught that everybody's God's child. But what he is teaching is that the greatest relationship is a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. These that have this spiritual relationship are his real mother and brothers. Your spiritual ties, your spiritual family should take priority. It's more important. Preacher, you've lost your mind. It's more important according to this text. Who's teaching this? It's Jesus. Amen. Now he says this also because we know that Israel, he came to the Jews, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Right? The Jews rejected him. Israel, his nearest kinsmen, did not receive him. They rejected him. So he opened the door to the Gentiles. And he said, if you want to come in, you come in by the blood, and you'll be received. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians that you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I want us to keep thinking here for just one second. We'll try to move off this thought. When he says, behold my mother and my brethren, it reminds me of the love that he has for his family. Are you with me? He has a love for his spiritual family that is beyond any love you and I will ever know. Let me ask you a question about your family. Now, don't you jump up and start testifying right now, but I'm talking about your physical family. When you and your sister, or you and your brother, whoever your physical family is, y'all ever have altercation? Y'all ever get too close, or maybe rub elbows a little bit too much, and you don't see eye to eye, and you come on now, let's get amen here. You all fuss a little bit with your brother, and you get a little upset about your sister, and you can't believe she'd act that way. I can't believe they'd treat me that way. I can't believe that that's their priority. Can I get a witness? Your family, right? But Jesus has never thought about you that way, not one time. Even when you did what you did, you know, when you drop kicked that egg, and when you took it and threw it at somebody, and when you said what you said and did what you did, and when you laid out for about 3 months, he never one time tried to run you down. He never one time tried to hurt you. All he wanted to do was be someone who loved you beyond anything you've ever known. Then if that dwells in our hearts, and it does, why can't we treat each other the same way? To have the love of God about us for our family. We see his interjection. Behold my mother and my brethren. Wonder what he says about Bethel this morning. Does he say, behold my mother and my brethren? Listen. This is not someone who doesn't care for his mother. You remember what happened when he died on the cross. As he was dying, he looked down, still cared for her, and said to John, his beloved disciple, he said, behold thy mother, amen, and behold thy son. Listen, he still cared for her. This is not a guilty about not caring for your family. There is a relationship that supersedes that of your physical family. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
Some of y'all look like, oh, I already knew that. You ain't living like it. You're not making your decisions that way. You're making your decisions based on what your wife might think, what your husband says, what your children's going to think, what your brother or your physical sister's got to say about it. You need to make your decision based on what Jesus says. We see the interjection that he gives us. Last of all, we'll be done. We see the interpretation, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This whosoever is an invitation to every one of us that would ever come to God through Jesus Christ. He qualifies this invitation with whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is what Jesus is saying. Do you want to know who my real family members are? My brothers don't even believe me. You want to know who my real family members are? I'll make it real simple for you. It's they that follow my word and obey my commandments. Why, preacher? Because they're committed to doing the will of God. How many times have I been asked, Preacher Dan, how can I know that I'm a child of God? I've got a day. I got baptized. My grandpa carries a King James Bible. Woo! Those are great things. I come to Bethel, listen to you preach all the time. That's great. But how can I know I'm a child of God? Jesus made it pretty simple right there. Read, the Bible says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother, my sister, and my mother. Pretty simple. Are you living in the will of God, obeying His word, or not? I don't know how many doors we knocked on. 500? 600 doors? I could not tell you how many times I heard, I go to church at such and such. How long has it been since you've been there? I mean, who's the pastor there? Well, I don't know. They got a new pastor 3 years ago. In fact, one fellow couldn't tell me the name of the church. He said it's the one down there on the side of the hill. Could have been us. Not every... I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Not every Christian that says they're a Christian is a Christian. The book of Matthew chapter number 7 tells us in verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Are you doing the will of God in your life? If you're not, I don't think you're saved. Preacher, who in the world are you to say that? I'm just basing on what Jesus said in the Word of God. That's all I've got to go on. Hell, but I remember a day. I don't care if you do remember a day. If you are not doing the will of God, there's a good chance you've never been saved. Well, I'm just real backslid. Well, is He chasing you down? Is He drawing you back in? Because He'll go get His own. When Jonah backslid on God, there's whale fins coming right behind him. Amen? Hey, when the prodigal son got down there, amen, in the hog lot, his daddy was looking for him every day to come home. That boy was a son. That's why he looked for him. He was his boy. I'm going to tell you something. Just because you come to this church and you hear me preach and you got a Bible in your lap and God's blessed you, that does not mean to me that you're saved. Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not because it was founded on a rock. But then he compared it to another man who heard the word of God but would not obey his sayings, and he built on the sand. And when the winds blew and the storms came and the floods rose up, that house had a great fall. He went a splat. You know why? Because he would not do the will of God. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. 1 John, please turn there. I invite you, I'm done right here. 1 John chapter 2. I'm saying this, salvation's one thing. It is obeying the will of God. What is the will of God? For you to be saved. Amen. And for you to walk with Him each and every day. Your Christian walk is not this lackadaisical, lazy attitude you've got. Well, I'll go if I can, when I can, as I can. Jesus is looking for disciples that believe Him, and those that believe Him will follow Him. I've seen so many people come and go. You know why they go? Because they're not of us. What do you mean of us? Family of faith. You got some brothers and sisters. Don't you sit around here like you're the only child of God. Amen. You got some brothers and sisters that love you and love you dearly. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2, 3, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Hello, sir. It's good to meet you. My name's Pastor Darren. We pastor at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. Want to come talk to you about Jesus Christ. Jesus, yeah. And the pastor down there, do you go to church? Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I know him. I know him. What's the name of your church? Go to that little one down on the hill, down side of the hill down there. What's the pastor's name? Well, I ain't been there in about 3 years. They got a new one, but you're sure you ought? Oh, yeah, I know him. He knows you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Me and him, we do business. We're good. Me and him's tight. Bible said, 1 John 2, 4, that if you're not doing the will of God, you're a liar. And the truth's not in you. Preacher, you're just about to make me mad. I'm glad. I'm glad because you need to get stirred up. You need to examine to see whether you're really in the faith or not. Because I'm telling you what, if you're really in the faith, there'll be some things, fruit, things in your life that'll show up each and every time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. I'll be done right here. Preacher, you've said that before. I'm not a liar. I'm going to tell the truth. 1 John 3, 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I wonder this morning, there are some relationships this morning have been determining some decisions in your life that really are secondary to the relationship you have with Christ. You need to put him back first place. You need to come say, Lord, I have made some decisions based on my family, based on what I thought was best rather than what you said. Number two, if you're here today and you say, Preacher Darren, I tell you, not only have I made decisions like that, but I'm not doing the will of God entirely. I do sometimes. I do when it's convenient. Listen, I'm not talking, I could quickly jump all over. We could have every one of you come up here and we could examine your faithfulness to church to find out whether you're really in the will of God. But I'm not even looking at that. I'm looking at every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, don't say Saturday. I was at the rock concert. Saturday. Sunday. Don't say Sunday. I ain't coming back Sunday. What is your relationship with him? I'm just asking you just on 7 days. Just seven. What's your relationship with him on just 7 days? You see, maybe this morning the Lord's allowed me to cause an interruption in your life, doing the things you normally do. And this morning God said, I want to make an interruption. I want to get their attention. I want to take this interruption and I'm going to interrogate them. And I'm going to shock them. And their mouth's going to fall open. And then I'm going to interject the answer. You've got a greater family. Listen, I heard y'all say, God's been good to me and my family. God's been good to me and my family. Oh, how he's blessed us. He's took care of us. And he has. He has. But by the phrase your family, you're talking about your physical family. You've got a great, big, better family than that. You got a brother named Jesus. He's my big brother. Anybody picks on me, going to have to mess with him. Woo! I like that already, don't you? And let me tell you something. I got some brothers and sisters around here. Really, if you say the wrong thing, they're only about halfway saved. They'll clean your clock. And you know why? Because we love each other. And want to protect what God's doing here. He's doing a great work. And you look how he's blessed us. I mean, you look. You see a church that God's allowed to grow for his glory. He's given us things. He's given us complete ministries. He's given us school. Entrusted us with it. Young people's lives. He's given us a whole separate ministry of a church. He's entrusted us with it. He's entrusted us with his precious word and the training of these young people in a Awana program. God has given us so much. But where is my commitment in the family of faith relationship? You see, there's really only one relationship that counts. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really all that matters. I'm not a singer, but this is on my heart. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family of God. From the door of the orphanage to the house of the king, I'm no longer an outcast. A new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Woo! I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family of God. There's only one relationship that counts. You stand at your feet. If someone come play, there might be somebody here who said, well, I tell you what, preacher, I'm so fired up this morning. I'm part of a family, the family of God. Preacher, I don't deserve anything, but he's been so good to me and my family at the house of God. I want to go down there and pray. I want to make sure that everything I do, my decision, it's based on my family. What's good for my family? And my family's the family of God. That's my family. Oh, would you come this morning? Folks are moving round about all over. Maybe if you're not a Christian this morning, maybe you've never been saved, this will be a good time this morning when he's inviting you, when he's convicting you, when he's drawing you by his precious love to say, I want you to be saved today. Does anybody say, Preacher Darren, I've not been saved? I want you to come pray with me, preachers. Anybody? Slip up your hand. Anybody? God searches the whole house. Oh, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God.
Bless his holy name. Our Father and our God, as we examine this text, the house was filled because Jesus preached the word. That's why they came. But then many were there to try to find fault, to castigate, and criticize, and complain. Lord, the Pharisees were certainly there to try to tear Jesus down. Father, there were others there that trying just to get him out of there alive. They were thought he was delusional, but because they liked him, part of their family, they wanted to rescue him. And then there were others there that said, no matter what they think about my Savior, I'm going to be true to him and I'm going to follow him. And certainly Jesus took this time of interruption to teach us a great truth, that there's a family that's greater than our physical family. It's a family of faith. And we're all a family because we're related through the blood. It's a royal bloodline. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we're brothers and sisters, because we've all come from the same birth channel through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to love you supremely, and Lord, to love each other as you've commanded us. Help us, Father, I pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask your help with our daily decisions. Amen and amen.